joyful sound. And I hope that you can say tonight that Jesus has saved your soul, that you're here tonight, that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that's not the case, then it'd be my prayer that tonight you would make that certain tonight, that you know 100% sure where you are going and that you are going to heaven when you die. Most important decision you can ever make, my friend. Most important decision you can ever make. 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and 23 this evening. Again, 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and 23 this evening. We are coming back into a series we started last night entitled Stronghold Razors. Stronghold Razors. And that word razors is not the R-A-I-S-E-R, where we're raising something up. Rather, it is the R-A-Z-E, where we are seeking to destroy strongholds, where we are seeking to tear down strongholds. And you say, well, Daniel, why would we be doing that? Because, my friends, the devil has erected in our land, in our society, in our culture today, strongholds, if you will. And these strongholds he is utilizing to blind people from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be in one of two places. You can be on the side where you need to take those strongholds down as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you might be here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, my friend. You are then a byproduct of that stronghold. The devil is successful in utilizing his things to keep you blinded from a relationship with Jesus Christ. The idea that you're not bad enough, that you're not sinful enough, that it's all okay, that you can enjoy his things that he has for you. The reality is, my friends, if you don't know Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, these strongholds are keeping you from coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit there in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The idea is that the devil does blind people. And last night, we looked at a stronghold that needed to be raised down, if you will, a stronghold that needed to be torn down, destroyed, and that was the stronghold of Satanism. Now, we looked at a man last evening. Anybody remember his name? Jehoiada, hearing it. All right. Good feedback. And what did Jehoiada, what do we need of Jehoiada to be able to tear down the stronghold of Satanism?
Faith.
So we need a faith of Jehoiada to tear down the stronghold of Satanism. Now, true or false, Jehoiada lived in a time where everybody was serving God, the person in power was godly, and it was all easy for Jehoiada just to have a faith to live for Jesus Christ. False? Queen, anybody remember the name? You can shout it out. Queen? Queen Athaliah was on the throne. She was a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, daughter-in-law to King Jehoshaphat. Part of a bad alliance that Jehoshaphat, king of the south, had made with Ahab, king of the north. And Athaliah was on a mission, and she was on a mission to wipe out all of the seed royal there in the nation of Judah. That basically means every man who had the right to sit upon the throne of David, she wanted off with their head. Gone. So, Jehoiada had to have a faith to break the odds, really, in the face of unbridled evil. The evil was massive. Jehoiada had also to have a faith, even in the numbers of a minority, as he was not in the majority. He was in the minority. And Jehoiada had to have a faith, even in a, what we might categorize as insignificant age. But really, my friends, there is no such thing as an insignificant age. Roughly speaking, remember how old we kind of pinpointed Jehoiada to be around the time that he rescued baby Joash? 100 years old. So when you guys are 100 years old, don't stop serving Jesus, okay?
Amen.
But the moral of that story is no matter how young you are, how old you are, you always can serve the Lord Jesus Christ with your life. Well, this evening we come back to Jehoiada because I believe we not only see a faith of Jehoiada, a faith to break the odds, But I believe we also can glean from Jehoiada a courage to break the mold. So if you're taking notes, we need the courage of Jehoiada that breaks the mold. A courage of Jehoiada that breaks the mold. Verse number 11, 2 Chronicles 22, but Jehoshaphat, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshaphat, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. We go down from verse 1 into verse 3. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Maaseiah the son of Adiah, and Elishabath the son of Zikri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. We're going to stop right here. We're not going to read the entire passage as we had read last night. But you recognize something right here, that Jehoiada has gathered some men, has gathered some leaders together. And they've come into the house of the Lord and said, we're going to make a covenant with God. We are going to have David's son sit on the throne. A descendant of David should be sitting upon the throne. Now, mind you, what has Jehoiada, the past 6 years from this point, as laid out in verse 12 of chapter 22, what has he been doing? He has been hiding baby Joash for 6 years. A faith to break the odds, to recognize that God could do something in and through the life of this little baby, that God would use him. But there's also another element, there's also another quality that I believe we can see in Jehoiada's life, is he's hidden for 6 years, and he knows full well, if he's found out, it's curtain for him. He's dead. But to go even further, after 6 years, he doesn't say, you know what, we should give up, let's run to another country, let's just go do something else. There's no way we're getting this back from Athaliah. She has had Judah in 6 years of godlessness, of wickedness. People have been worshiping the false idols of Baal. There's no hope for Judah, but rather, he's got a plan. And he has a courage, if you will, to enact the plan. When you're faced with a task or something in front of you that you wonder, how in the world am I supposed to do this? It's very easy to kind of hunker down and be like, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit right here. I'm just going to live my life how I feel comfortable living my life. And rather than being courageous and living for Christ or doing what God would have for us, we sit back. That wasn't Jehoiada. After 6 years, he gets the captains. He says, hey, we're going to be the Lord's people. Hey, Joash is going to sit upon the throne of his father David. Enough with Queen Athaliah, who's on the throne right now. I am going to do something about this. And he wants to bring his people back to God so much that he has a courage, and we're going to see, to break the mold. Now let's step back and spell something out really quick here. And this is the truth, that Jehoiada was engaged in a physical war, you could say a physical coup, to overthrow the government there in Judah. The realization is, my friends, we are involved in a spiritual war today. Recognize that. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians that the weapons we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And so as we keep in mind that our battle is spiritual, we also need to keep in mind that we need to have the courage of Jehoiada to go out and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. How easy is it, if all your friends want to go do something, to be the one who sticks out and say, hey, I'm not going to do that. That's not right. It's not very easy, is it? It's a lot easier to go with the flow rather than being that stick in the mud or somebody that's going to decide to go up the current of the river that's coming down. But you know what, guys? We live in a culture, we live in a society today, we live in a world today where wickedness abounds, where things are acceptable in Christianity, things that are, the world would accept, things that even mainstream Christianity would accept, but we recognize that from the Word of God, we ought not to accept that. It's easy to go with the flow, but we need a courage, if you will, to break the mold. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can come into meet together here tonight. Pray, Lord, that you would help our hearts to be receptive to what you'd have for each one of us. Lord, help me to say only what you'd want me to say, nothing more or nothing less, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would just give us a good time together in your word. I pray that you would change us as only you can do. And help hide me behind your cross so that your word can come forth freely. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So our prayer, our plea tonight is that God would give us a generation with the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold. We have this reality that we need to be stronghold raisers, that there are strongholds in our land that we need to destroy. And we looked at yesterday about the stronghold of Satanism that seeks to exert its influence over our land, over our country, over our society. And we recognize that we need the faith of Jehoiada to be able to raise, to be able to break this stronghold down. Because what the devil doesn't want is a lost person coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The devil wants to take as many people with him to hell as he can. Why? Because he loves them? No. Because he hates them. And if he can have you suffer alongside with him in the lake of fire, that's a mission accomplished for him. But this evening, as we consider a courage to break the mold, this is the need, if you will, this is the need of the day to raise down, to destroy, to tear down the humanistic stronghold of today. So what's the stronghold we're battling against this evening? As we have this quality, as we have this character quality of courage in our life, we need to battle against the stronghold of humanism. Humanism, secular humanism, you can lay it out however you want to put it. But secular humanism is abounding even in our land over the past years, over the past decades, to try to push on us an agenda, to try to get our eyes off of God, and to try to help us rely upon our own intellect, our own reasoning, rather than God. And it's been seen as coming across even our nation over the past decades, even over the past century. And humanism, what humanism seeks to do, it has dared to silence Christians by erecting daunting strongholds, we could say, throughout the land upon the basis of perverted yet persuasive ideologies. And that which is happening in our land today is that which was happening even back in Jehoiada's time. Athaliah had usurped power, and she had purged out any feasible elements of godliness via a kingly seed or the right practice, and she had done away with every element of godliness as she could. And she was bringing the nation into godlessness, into wickedness. So what we need is to have the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold and resultingly wage war on the humanistic strongholds. You say, well, Daniel, where can this courage be foundationally found? How can I have this courage then to take on these strongholds of humanism, that have sought over the past decades, that have sought even over the past century, to rewrite for us even our own nation's history and to throw out every element of God, every element of the Bible, every element of Christian principle? What do I need to have in my life to wage war against this? Where can this courage be found? You're only going to have the courage to be in this battle, my friend, if it's rooted in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This courage must be rooted in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is foundational, my friends. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior,
I'm going to be talking about things we need to have in our heart, but you need to have a relationship with Him first. If you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first, you are going to be, if you will, bound. You're going to be captives of these strongholds that are in our land, the stronghold of Satanism. He'll get you infatuated with all that he has for you, or the stronghold of humanism. They'll tell you that there really is not a God out there. It's really all about you. It's all about your intellect. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're going to settle it tonight. Admit you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and then he rose again from the grave. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Messiah. Only Jesus Christ can save you from sin shackles. Only Jesus Christ can save you from hellfire. No matter what you do, your righteousness, your good things, are all as filthy rags in God's sight. You need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most important decision you can ever make in your life. With that settled, you can then have this courage in the Lord Jesus Christ. This courage to face the evils that are coming in our land today. Jehoiada, he saw what was coming down the pike. Remember we had talked about how Jehoiada had lived during the time of Asa. He had lived during the time of Jehoshaphat. These were godly kings for the most part. And then Jehoshaphat had his son Jehoram, vastly wicked king, reigned 8 years. Ahaziah reigned 1 year. Then Athaliah reigned in 6 years. Jehoiada's really had a front row seat to see everything that is coming down the pike, if you will. All the wickedness. We live in a day, guys, where there is stuff that is coming down the pike. There is stuff that's coming down the pike, even in our land, where it would seek to make even Christianity outlawed in our land today. If a certain group had their way. And they're working for that because, again, as I said, there's a battle for the spiritual soul of our nation today. So Jehu saw what was coming down. Now, this is a little backstory. Well, Jehu is another man. Jehu was executing God's judgment on Ahab's wicked line. He was wiping out Ahab's line. He would later be a king in the north. When he got to be king, he wasn't a great king. He was still a godless king. But while he was wiping out Ahab's seed, Athaliah, guess what, daughter of Ahab, was taking upon herself to wipe out Jehoshaphat's seed and King David's seed of those who could sit on the throne. There was a real battle that was going on here. So the question comes to this. What did this courage we so dearly need look like? What was it about Jehoiada he had the courage, if you will, to break the mold? Here the Bible identifies Jehoiada in verse number 11 as Jehoiada the priest. So as Jehoiada the priest, he's involved with the daily sacrifices, the sacrifices that would go on there in the temple and pointing the nation that we're sinners in front of a holy God and we need a Savior. But my friends, Jehoiada the priest is not necessarily Jehoiada the king. He's not in a position of government. He is a priest. As we consider truth number one, hold on to that thought because we're going to come back to it. Jehoiada had a courage that refused to be silent. Jehoiada had a courage that refused to be silent. It says in verse 1, in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds. We won't go through their names. But he took them into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah. And they made a covenant with the king. And the king said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. After 6 years of hiding Joash, Jehoiada has taken on courage. He refuses to be silent. He's going to go about in getting his country back to God. Now, courage is something that is not foreign to the Bible. Courage is a trait called out for in every Christian throughout the centuries. Courage does not exist in silence. Silence really is the opposition to courage. You may have heard the saying before, but evil triumphs when what?
when good men do nothing, when people refuse to have courage. Our country can go down the pathway of hell. The psalmist says, every nation shall be turned into hell that forget God. They can go down the pathway of hell, and we could just sit quietly by and sit and say, we're not going to say anything, we're not going to do anything, we're just going to live our comfortable life, because I don't want to stick out. I don't want to go up current. I don't want to have resistance against me. I'd rather live for myself. No, my friends, we need courage. We need courage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7, Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul recognized that he was in a spiritual fight. And what did he say? He said, I have fought a good fight. That needs to be our motto. We need to be willing to fight the good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. But it takes courage. Turn back to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 in verse number 12. And he says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He says, Timothy, you're young. He's told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. He tells Timothy, Timothy, you need to fight the good fight of faith. Every one of you here tonight, my friends, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to fight the good fight of faith. But fighting the good fight of faith means you've got to have something in your life. It means you're going to have courage, does it not? A courage for the Lord Jesus Christ. A boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles in the book of Acts are known for having this boldness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even Joshua gives us a call to courage. Turn to Joshua in chapter 1. Joshua in chapter 1 in verse number 7 through 9. Joshua chapter 1 verse number 7 through 9. Joshua has this to say, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And the Bible continues in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Again, we see in the book of Joshua, as we see in 1 and 2 Timothy, the need for courage in a believer's life. A courage that refuses to be silent. Courage that refuses to be silent. My friend, if you have friends, if you have classmates, if you have relatives that you know are on their passing, they're going to hell, they don't need the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, are you just going to sit there by, silently by, and never tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Say, but Daniel, they might not like me. My friends, we need to have the courage to share with them the hope of salvation. We need to have the courage to share with them the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not loving to let them go by and live their own life and go to a Christless eternity in the lake of fire. We need to have courage to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jehoiada had a courage that refused to be silent. But secondly, I believe Jehoiada had a courage that destroyed humanism's lines. Jehoiada had a courage that destroyed humanism's lines. You say, what exactly do you mean by this? Here we're going to revisit verse number 11 in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, where they have hid Joash. And we're going to recognize here in verse number 11 of chapter 22 these words, that Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada the priest. Jehoiada, again, is a priest, and he's the one offering the sacrifices.
He's the one pointing people, pointing the nation of Judah to the one true God and showing them that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And one day that Messiah is coming who's going to pay the price of all mankind's sin. And we need to put our faith and trust in that Messiah. That's his vocation. That's his job as a priest. But Jehoiada does something here. If you will, Jehoiada the priest crosses over into the affairs of the government when he sees his nation going down to hell through the reign of Athaliah, through the reign of Jehoram, and even of Ahaziah. And he recognized that his nation needs him. So Jehoiada the priest crosses over into government to get the people back to God, to put upon the throne Joash, a descendant of King David, so that David will have a rightful heir to the throne of Judah, and so that Jehoiada can get the nation of Judah back to a covenant relationship with God. Now this is important because we've identified humanism's lines here. And what humanism's lines has done is it really has done for us today in modern day America, it has separated religion from politics, if you will. It has separated religion from politics. And humanism is the willful culprit of this perverted viewpoint of the separation of its idea, rather, of the separation of church and state. We're going to look at that in just a second. But again, Jehoiada was priest, not king. His job was priestly, not governmental. It was religious, not political. Yet he used his influence to change the trajectory of Judah's political landscape because he refused to isolate. He rather had the courage to step over into the realms of government. And why am I saying this? Because as God calls you, men and women who are here today, wherever God calls you to go, however God calls you to serve him, make sure you're willing to go where God calls you to go. Man, here today, if God calls you to be a pastor, if he calls you to be an evangelist, if he calls you to be a missionary, if he calls you to be a businessman and a godly businessman in this world today, if he calls you to be a statesman, if he calls you to go into the realms of government, be all there for the Lord. Reality is, my friends, men and women, wherever God calls you, make sure that you're willing to go where God calls you to go. Modern day speaking, though, the notion of crossing over, of putting together a politics and religion is like a taboo. Because people look at this idea of separation of church and state and say, well, you can't have the government influenced by the Bible. You know, our founding fathers never wanted the Bible to influence the government. They never wanted that. They even had that in our Constitution. Now, I'm speaking facetiously here, but I'm telling you what humanism seeks to push. You say, well, Dana, why is this important? Because if humanism can get you to think that there is no concept of God, that there is no concept of the Bible in our nation's history, then humanism's going to keep going further and just try to let you know that there's really no concept of God or the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, and you don't need the Bible. Go just rely on your own human reasoning. So there is an active battle that we're fighting against here. But back to the idea of the separation of church and state, properly understood in that context, it was really just, that phrase was used in a letter written to a group of Danbury Baptists by Thomas Jefferson, our founding fathers. And this group of Baptists didn't want the government coming over and basically persecuting the church or telling the church what they could or could not do. And Jefferson told them, there's a wall of separation of church and state, that the government will never interfere with the affairs of the church. The humanists, secular humanism, has taken that and said, yeah, but he meant it the other way, that you should have no business as Christians in the affairs of government. But Thomas Jefferson never said that and never implied that. Secular humanism would like to tell you that most of our founding fathers were atheists, people that didn't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, or people that didn't have any concept of God, or have any concept of the Bible. But the reality is that you can go through some of the founders' quotes, and you can recognize that they recognized that God had a part in their nation's history. George Washington has been noted of saying that you cannot rightly govern without God in the Bible. John Adams also said the Constitution was given only for a moral and religious people. It is inadequate for the government of any other. What were these men saying? These men were saying that our country was founded upon the principles of the Word of God, founded upon the principles of the Christian faith. And why is this important? Because in today's age, in past decades, this stronghold of humanism has come into our land to say, and they have rewritten our history for us to throw out any concept of God and said, you know what? You actually can't go in affect the sphere of government, Christian. You keep your Bible to yourself, Christian. You keep your Bible to your own self. Don't come out in the public square. Don't come out into the public arena and try to share your faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they will try to push you down. So what is the ingredient to battle against this, my friends? Courage. We need the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold. The world will scream at you. The world will shout at you if you dare bring your relationship with Jesus Christ into the political realm. But we need to have the courage of Jehoiada to break that mold. There is a need in our land today for that. And there are those who have gone on before that have broke that mold, that have gone to the public arena with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have paid an ultimate price, even with their life. But they had the courage. They had the courage to break the mold. You say, well, Daniel, as we consider Mark chapter 12, verse 17, Jesus said these words, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. You say, well, Daniel, ought we not to just stay separate? Ought we not just to stay in our own little bubble and not affect those around us? My friends, there's a stronghold that is seeking to bring people to a Christless eternity in the lake of fire. We cannot afford to be silent. And Jesus said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar and to God the things that are God's. He was telling them, as they would consider the Roman government, that you give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But as you consider even where we are today in our society, in our culture, in our land today, and recognize that there is even a difference in our land from that of the Roman Empire. And when we render to Caesar, we are actually rendering, we are pledging allegiance, if you will, to a flag, to ideals that founded our country, to Christian principles that founded our country. Did you know that our country was even set forth for the propagation of the gospel? And so when we are faithful to that cause, we will also be faithful to the Lord in living for Him. We can't listen to those that would say, you've got to stay out. Stay in your lane. Have you ever heard that? Somebody said, just stay in your lane, okay? You don't know what you're talking about here. Anybody baseball fan? Anybody like to play baseball here? Okay. If I were to talk baseball with you guys, you might come to a point where you have to tell me to stay in my lane. Because I really don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to baseball. I like hockey. I like playing hockey. That's what I enjoy. As a Michigander, that's what I enjoy. We build the ice rinks in the wintertime and play hockey. But you've heard that saying, stay in your lane. And that's what the secular humanists have tried to tell to Christians over the past decades. They said, stay in your lane. Don't come over here. But the Bible commands us to, does it not? So who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to the strongholds of the secular humanists of the day? Or are we going to have the courage to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ? Jehoiada was a priest. Athaliah was a wicked queen. Jehoiada hid Joash for 6 years. And then he comes out to lead this successful coup against Queen Athaliah. But what does he do? He steps over into government from offering the daily sacrifices. He gathers the captains of 100 and said, look, we are going to be the Lord's people. Joash is going to sit upon the throne of his father David. Let's get at this, and let's make him the king, and let's get at removing Athaliah from the throne. Now again, I say this, and remember, guys, what type of battle are we in today? It's a spiritual battle. And the devil is noted as the prince of the power of this world. He's the god of this world. And he's trying to keep and shackle throughout our nation men and women, boys and girls, shackled to sin's chains. And yes, he's used a stronghold of Satanism, but yes, I believe he also uses a stronghold of secular humanism to tell others that, hey, there really is no idea of God. You can rely upon your human intellect. They have no business crossing over into the affairs of government. When the Bible speaks to a matter, the Bible is correct in what it's saying. I work at Panera Bread at home when I'm not on the road, and there's been conversations over the years that I've had with coworkers. In the instance I brought in the Bible, they're like, oh, wait, you're talking about the Bible. We were supposed to be talking about science. And I was like, well, when the Bible speaks to science, the Bible is accurate because the Bible is a scientific book. When the Bible speaks to certain matters, the Bible is accurate because why? It is the Word of God. Never be ashamed of the Word of God, men and women. Never be ashamed of the Word of God. You can keep your feet planted upon this, and you can have a courage that is founded in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to be on the defensive in this world today. A lot of the times, often, I mean, I've thought in my mind that we're on the defensive, we're just holding out till the Lord Jesus Christ comes. But you know what Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18? He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church. Gates don't move forward. The picture Jesus Christ is giving to us is he's saying, look, you're on the offensive. You're the one attacking the gates of hell. And they won't be able to prevail. Why? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. What do we need as we're going to be successful, if you will, stronghold raisers, those who would destroy the strongholds that are seeking to blind people from the gospel of Jesus Christ? What do we need to raise down, to tear down those strongholds? We need the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold. We need the courage of Jehoiada to break the mold. It's not culturally acceptable to do this. But we ought to be obedient to the Word of God, ought we not to? Courage refuses to be silent. Courage will destroy humanism's lines. We see throughout the scriptures the people of God involved in the places of government. Men like Joseph and Moses and Daniel and Ezra and Nehemiah. These men were involved in the affairs of government, and God designed to have government shaped by his people. We're blessed today. We're blessed today to live in a land where we are free to worship God, where we are free to live however we want. And a lot of countries across the world in the history of the world have not had the freedom that we have been blessed with here in our nation. They have not. People claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and off with their head. It's a sad reality throughout the world today, but we in our nation are blessed. We are blessed. Karl Marx knew that to destroy Western civilization, he must silence Christians in the realm. He must silence, if you will, the church in the realm of politics. He wanted to get the two separate ideas so that the government wouldn't be influenced by the Word of God. But we need the Word of God to influence everything in our life, my friends. We need the Word of God to influence everything in our life. We need to break the world. We need to break the mold. We need to destroy humanism's lines. Lines that blur the things of God with the things of this world. Look at verse number 18 of chapter 23. Verse number 18. Jehoiada appointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests of the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. As it was ordained by David. So Jehoiada is bringing the people of Judah back to God, and they've been in about 8 years of spiritual darkness, right? Since Jehoram and Ahaziah. And in bringing the people back to God, Jehoiada could have looked around in the culture and said,
I'll take a little bit of this of what the world does, and I'll take a little bit of this of what the world does. But the Bible says, it says that he set things up as it was ordained by David, as it was written in the law of Moses. What was Jehoiada concerned about? Jehoiada was concerned about what God said. My friends, we need to be concerned about what God says. We need to be willing to have a courage to break the mold, that to break the line that blur the things of God with the things of this world. There'll be a lot of Christians out here that say, well, you can use this to get people to God. Well, it doesn't matter. You can go ahead and drink. You can go ahead and listen to rock music. You can go ahead and imbibe in foul language. You can go ahead and watch all this worldly entertainment. It's all fun. It's all nice. And you can use all of that to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, my friends, no. We ought to have the courage to break that mold that says, you know what, you can do that because you have the freedom to do whatever you want, but you ought not to do that because the Word of God tells us not to do that. And you're going to be faced with this now, the summer, even in the school year, with this idea that people, your friends, may want you to go one way, but you're going to have to make the decision, I'm going to have the courage to break the mold. Everybody else is going to go that way. What, are you going to stand alone, or are you going to go with the flow? Jehoiada was a man who was willing to stand alone. And I know that because he and his wife hid Joash for 6 years there in the house of the Lord. And then he brought together the leaders and led the successful coup against Athaliah. Humanism, my friends, will dull you to the things of God and dazzle you with the things of this world. It will dull you to the things of God and dazzle you with the things of this world. Jehoiada would not draw from the culture, he drew from God's word. Thirdly and finally, we saw, number one, courage refuses to be silent. Courage that destroys humanism's line. But thirdly and finally, courage that ignites God's power. Courage that ignites God's power. It says in verse 3, and all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. And we looked at the story how it unfolded last night. Athaliah comes up to the house of the Lord and says, treason, treason! And Jehoiada says, get her out of here. Whoever goes with her, let them be slain also. And they place Joash upon the throne. And God's power is on display in this successful coup. As they have a courage to do right. As they have a courage to overthrow wickedness. And my friends, we need to overthrow wickedness. It's a spiritual power that we need to overthrow. And courage unlocks God's power. There will be those who try to silence. But when you try to silence a work that God is doing, much like the persecution in the early church when they try to silence, when they try to stomp out the fire, what happened? The sparks flew every which way and ignited a fire in all these other places. And it will ignite that fire. It will spread that fire. What even the woke left intended to bury in the murdering of a life back in last September with Charlie Kirk, God used to ignite a gospel fire and to allow a situation to come where the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was broadcasted worldwide throughout the country, throughout the world. They tried to silence a voice last September. What they didn't know is that they created even something greater. My friends, when you try to silence the work of the Lord, you're going to allow that work to come even greater. There was a man who was willing to have a courage to break the mold. And it didn't matter the death threats that were leveled against him. And yes, his life eventually was ended by a gunshot last September. But he had the courage to break the mold. He had the courage, and because of that courage, God could do something great. My friends, God's power here in this chapter is on display in a thorough detox, if you will. Verse number 17, all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan, the priests of Baal, before the altars. They break down the altars.
Baal had kept God's people sidelined long enough. They needed to rip out these strongholds. They needed to tear down these strongholds. If they would stay disengaged, they would not concern themselves with the nation's welfare. If we stay submerged in our ambitions of what we want to do, we will not concern ourselves with the Word of God. We will be a casualty of the humanistic strongholds. We will be a casualty if that's the case for us. But we can have this courage and allow God's power to just be on display in a national healing. Look at verse number 16. And Jehoiada made a covenant with between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Jehoiada was one man that God used to bring the people of Judah back to God. He was one man that God used to bring the people of Judah back to God, to rip out the idols in the land and to come back and serve God. More than ever do we need to return to being one nation under God, but also individuals under God. That we allow God up on a national level, but that we allow God in our hearts personally, that we allow Him to do a work in our life, and as He would lead us, we would serve Him. My friends, this can be the power of God ignited. Jehoiada saw the coup complete. He saw the detox done, if you will, with the idols thrown out. He could see the healing begun because he had the courage to raise humanism strongholds. Because he realized that greater is He that is in him than he that is in this world. Friends, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. If we are going to put God back in the public square, if we're going to put God back in the political and the governmental sphere, we can see what God will do. We can see the power of God ignited, but we must have this courage. Who cares if it's the popular thing to do or not? Well, it's not popular to do it. Don't do something because it's popular. Do it because the Bible tells you to do it. Your courage comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. If everyone's against you, remember the words, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. We need to raise the stronghold of humanism, and it comes from a courage to break the mold. That courage will not be silent. It will defy humanism's lines, and it will ignite the power of God. So the question is, where is the courage of Jehoiada in this generation? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, for your goodness to us. We thank you for the life of Jehoiada. And Lord, it's my prayer, it's my heart's desire, it's my plea that you would just, in the hearts of these young people that are here today, help them be a decision to say, Lord, I will have the courage to go up against the stronghold of humanism. I will have the courage, even though when those around me won't serve the Lord, even when those around me will tell me, you ought not to serve the Lord with your life, or you ought not to speak out about your faith, that I would be willing to have the courage to break the mold. I would not be silent. I'd not contain myself and let the world tell me the places where I can and cannot go. The Lord, that you would allow me through my courage to see the power of God ignited. Lord, I pray for this. Pray that as you work in our hearts, we respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to your feet if you will. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.